Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show here on Blog Talk and coming to you from the Feeding Arizona building. Youngtown, Arizona, also part of the Valley View Community Food Bank. It is Tuesday, November 8th, 2011, and I want to put in a word here quickly for the food bank and everything they do in the Northwest Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. It is the only food bank in the area that gives the food away 100% free, never charges for food. Jesse Ramirez is the executive director and the founder of the Valley View Community Food Bank. And now is a good time for those that are thinking of making donations for the holidays to consider the Valley View Community Food Bank for not only money, because they can always use money to help stock the shelves, but food as well. And a big need now this time of year, as you can well imagine, is turkeys. Turkeys, turkeys, turkeys. Jesse always puts on a big turkey feast on Thanksgiving Day, serves the community, and hundreds of people come by to enjoy a Thanksgiving holiday turkey dinner, all put on free of charge by the Valley View Community Food Bank. So anything you can do to help them procure the turkeys and all of the other foodstuffs that are involved in Thanksgiving, please go ahead and do that. You can contact them by going to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com and contacting them through the Contact Us button, or you could Google Valley View Community Food Bank, and you'll be able to make the contacts there, make your donations, whether you're living in the Phoenix metropolitan area or anywhere in the country and you're concerned about the food insufficiency that's going on in the country today. You can certainly help the people of the Northwest Valley of Phoenix, Arizona, by making that donation to the Valley View Community Food Bank. Enough said for that for the moment. We are, of course, the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio. A little bit about us. We are do more than just this radio show. We also do mini books and we do e-books. We help small businesses by consulting with them to help their businesses grow. In addition, we do this radio program. We have our mini book. Our e-book authors are also having their own shows on Blog Talk Radio, Boomer and the Babe. So we enjoy you to listen to them, invite you to listen to them as well. And along with the promotional products and the videos that we do, we try to give people a good service. We consider ourselves to be a multifaceted multimedia marketing company. And that's all for the commercials for now. And I'm Pete Peters.
And I'm Deborah Brown.
Oh my goodness! My goodness!
my voice.
There is an actual name,
yeah.
A voice and a face to the babe, as it were. And we're glad to have her back with us. She's taken time off to do this show with our special guest today, Nancy Ferrari. And Nancy has had her own show on Blog Talk, and she's graduated to the big time now. She's a big-time radio show host on terrestrial radio, and we're going to hear all about that. And welcome back to the Boomer and the Babe Show, Nancy Ferrari. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm just smiling here. I just love listening to you. You share so much about, you know, your giving spirit, and it's always such a pleasure to be with both of you. I really enjoyed our last interview, or I just call it just being with you, being with the Boomer and the Babe. So it's truly an honor.
Just a bunch of boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, isn't there?
There is. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to let Deborah, I'm going to put Deborah to work. I'm going to make her earn her money today. She's going to be talking a lot of stuff with you.
Well, I love how you said that she's the voice, and that's such, there's so much significance to that. So I think we'll touch base on that mental note to Nancy.
Okay. Well, what I would like to do is the same thing we did last time, in case someone is picking this up for the first time, and that is let you give your two-minute movie. And that is your life, as far back as you'd like to go, starting wherever you'd like to start, and bring us forward to today. So go for 2 minutes, if you will.
Okay, well, you have set the timer then. Well, as you said, my name is Nancy Ferrari, and I live in Orange County, California. I was born in Canada, actually, above Michigan, so I do know the cold temperatures there, and, you know, it might be chilly here now. But anyway, enjoying my life here. I've been happily married for almost 33 years, three adult children. Now I have a two-year-old granddaughter who's a little apple of my eye, and it's been quite a phenomenal year for me, actually 2 years, in that I did start my Blog Talk radio show in May of 2010. It started off as an experiment, but the realization is that life became full circle, as my major in college was communications and journalism, that went unfulfilled. And as I started with one show and liked the feeling, continued on 200 shows later, I was asked to be on a show here on KNOC 1680 on the AM dial here in Orange County. Their show is called the Jeff and Angel Morning Show, and they are very much like the both of you. It's always so much full of laughter, and but yeah, we do discuss topics of interest, and they invited me to host my own show. And as I talk about being clear, my show is called the Nancy Ferrari Show, so there's no mistake about who I am. And I host my shows now once a week, Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, and I still continue to share exceptional guests. And the theme of my show is to talk about what's bright and right in the world and people who make a difference. We have enough on the flip side of that when we go on to the news, and I prefer to share people who are like-minded, positive, and can share their expertise with others. So along with that, I've developed my personal development network, which is a coaching program, and my workbook and journal and audio CD entitled Discover the Essence of You is now in print and will be available by Thanksgiving. So I'm very excited about that. It's been quite a year full of accomplishments, and now I'm in a place of celebration and anxious to get moving on forward. So
fantastic.
I hit the two-minute mark.
Yeah, so I have to say, I believe it is exactly 2 minutes. That's awesome.
Wow.
Well, now,
I am a HeartLink network coordinator, and we have three-minute presentations, so I'm getting pretty good.
Right. We kind of have an inner clock sometimes that tells us, okay, I've gone over. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I know about your message from looking at your website and other things is your three words that identify what you're doing are connect, evolve, and discover.
Exactly.
And I think that that is so important because the connection that I get is that it's not just with other people, it's with what's going on inside. And
yes,
that's why this Discover the Essence of You is so important when we're trying to figure out where do I fit in the big picture. You know, if I am going to be part of what's bright and right in the world, what do I have to do inside to get right with the world? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's through, through my own life experience and those that I have been in contact with through the years, what I've discovered is that if you are not in a place of connection with the most important person in your life, and that is with yourself, that you remain in that either a wheel of just either repeating patterns or not going forward. There's a lot of the talk of, you know, why does this always happen to me? Why can't I get forward? So as I learned to focus inward and discover truly who I am and my true authenticity, now I'm able to evolve into my best work, and therein lies the discovery part. Every day is a new discovery, as I view the world as absolute abundance, because that is what I ask for. And
right.
that's how I apply my visioning techniques within my coaching program. It'll be also mentioned in my audio CD, but also importantly, just journaling. The power of writing is so strong, because sometimes we can just be overthinking issues, and now that we've got the holidays coming up, it seems more obvious to me than ever as I'm listening, just sometimes listening in the line at the grocery store about feeling that overwhelm, and it's not even here yet. So that's when, if I were talking with someone or coaching them, I'd actually encourage them to take a step back and just breathe and be the observer in life. So you're right. Once you make that connection within yourself, then you will notice yourself feeling completely in alignment with yourself, and the world does look bright and right, and you will make a difference, because you'll be contributing that glow from within that is absolutely contagious.
Right. Well, another thing that I noticed about some of your writing is that you talk about fuzzy results and fuzzy intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that, because if I were looking at some things that I was trying to do, like goals, big goals, and I had a piece of gauze over my vision, literally,
mm-hmm.
what am I going to really see? You know, am I going to really see myself in excellence, you know, in performance, in completion, or am I going to see myself not quite getting there? And I think that was a really cool way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea of the gauze, I just made that up as we're talking. but
well, it's
you know,
a great analogy.
Well, yeah, if you put a piece of gauze over this big hairy goal that you're trying to achieve, wow, what are you really going for?
Mm-hmm. It's like if you're with someone who wears prescription glasses and you accidentally reverse them, all of a sudden life does not look quite the same. That's why I talk in some of my speaking presentations about attaining a 20/20 vision, so that you have full clarity of your life. And along with that is having that trust within yourself, that you know that your inner voice, that your intuition will guide you exactly where you need to be, rather than overthinking. And as you mentioned, the vision board part of it, when you don't have the gauze on it and you're looking at it with clarity, because that's come from within yourself. Life really does happen. You can't force anything or anybody. That's all. That's one thing I know for sure. And that, yes, we all have goals, and yes, we're aspiring, but there comes a point in your life that if you place your intentions out there and you are so true and authentic with those intentions, you will start seeing the abundance starting to flow in, because that's what you're attracting. So it's knowing what you want that's the key. And
what about attitude in all of this? Can you speak to that when you're talking about discovering the essence of you? There are some people that I would say just by nature, which I hope
mm-hmm.
is not too broad a brush, but by nature they just kind of have a foul attitude, you know?
Yes,
and
they
so
do.
It's almost like garbage in, garbage out in a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage back out. So
does that make sense to
use that as an analogy also?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, it's like if you're thinking about what you don't have, what you're lacking, well, that's what you're going to get back. You know, it's you know, what you think about, you bring about. And within the process of facilitating my vision classes, I talk about the happiness factor that, you know, and this is based on a study. Where is my notes? Because I need to get it right here. 50% is genetics. And, you know, where I go with that is that there comes a point in life that you just stop being the victim. We've all had stuff happen, even if it's minor things. You know, when we're born, we have rules. We have boundaries. Our society is structured that way. And it's so easy to, and this is where that attitude stuff comes in, is like you could talk to two siblings from the same parents, and one person will say, well, of course my life is you know, this rotten because look at my parents. And the other one will say, I'm just having, you know, experiencing great success in my life because of my parents. It's how you view your world. And with the power of going into that second 50%, and once you recognize that whoever has been in your life that's been a negative influence, that is their map of the reality. That is not you. And so it projects on you, and then you project it back, and that's where the inconsistencies in relationships come about. But it's when you take that 40% that is intentions, and intention is when you anticipate a favorable outcome and know where you are going, your intention will be positive, and that is your visual map. So when you do a vision board, that 10% reinforces that intention and serves as your guide. So it is a slow process. I still catch myself once in a while, and I'm happy to say that I catch myself now if I'm going to start with a negative. And I actually snap just like that, like, oh, I'll bet you forgot. Well, that's breaking a lot of rules. Already I've made an assumption that someone didn't do something, and also throwing a negative comment their way as well. So how are they? They're going to come back as in a defensive mode. So I highly encourage people. There's so many coaching programs. There's so many self-help books, and I have read many. I have gone to many seminars, and now I've developed my own based on what I know. But yes, an awakening and a transformation can happen quickly. But it is a daily practice to catch yourself, and catch yourself doing something right, not something wrong, and also sharing with others, just as we were talking about before we went on air, sharing when you catch someone doing something right. Like, you know, both of you always put on a wonderful radio show, and the work that you do on the side is amazing, and I was nodding my head when you were talking about the food bank, how important that is, and I commend you for that. And it is during our lifetimes that is really a much nicer place to be, to express gratitude and share that with them, so that, because sometimes we don't get that feedback. You're doing it because you like to, but feedback is important. Support is important, just as you're asking for food bank, and I did that last week in my HeartLink meeting. Rather than doing our raffle prize at the end, I said, let's all bring some food for a local food bank. It is needed so desperately. So getting yourself really into a place of gratitude, start your day with a positive intention, and day by day, when you start doing this, it takes 21 days to make a habit stick, you will start noticing that you're thinking in a more positive light, more positivity comes your way, and all of a sudden, what was negative, it starts to wean away.
Right.
And anything is possible. I don't accept that word can't, because it's a cop out.
Exactly.
Because yes, you can. is what I say.
Yes, me too. Now go back to the happiness factor, because. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk about that for a few minutes, because I feel like I am pretty much happy, I would say 98% of the time, which is
wonderful.
Happy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And 50% of that being genetics, I would like to acknowledge both of my parents who are not with us anymore, but they were funny, both of them, hysterically funny people. Mm-hmm. They were loving and giving, and they appreciated me and my brothers. So I would like to invite other people to acknowledge their family members and the people that are around them all the time. Figure out what is it that you really like about those people, and hone in on that and acknowledge them in person while you have the chance, and say, you know what, you are amazing. And I would like to just tell Pete on the air, Pete, you are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Deborah.
And I'm loving this connection. Do you see what's happening? It's in, and your listeners out there, I'm quite certain are it's processing in their mind. Because so often with family too, it's just a thing called life. There's things that have happened that could cause you to be looking at that negativity factor rather than what, you know, their positive characteristics and how, the impact that they did have in your life or still do.
Well, Nancy, I could make a list, just to be completely transparent, I could make a list as long as my arm of things that I wish that my parents had not done.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But I also can put that in a little box, close the lid, put a bow on it, and put it aside because it doesn't mean anything anymore. Mm-hmm. But what does matter is that I know that I ended up being happy. Now, whether that's 50% their fault, I'm using that, that's not the right word. But, you know, at 50% them, I give them that. That's awesome. But the rest of it, excuse me, is definitely, excuse me, my intention to make a difference, to be nice to people, and to share and all that good stuff, and to have fun. I think having fun is it for me.
Yes.
If it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
Exactly. And I know through this year, as I've been really just grounding myself into my work, if I notice that it stopped being enjoyable or fun for me, then I would know that this is not the right route to go. But I have to say that it's been an absolute joy and such a learning process about myself as well. So it's just a mindfulness, and as you just shared, you know, just being in that state of gratitude. And softening up, if you're, it's talked about so often how to deal with people that are adversarial in your life. Well, if you come in there, and there's the stubbornness factor, someone says, well, why should I do it? Well, why shouldn't you? You know, if you're wanting to make your life be more at ease, well, if you approach them with a little bit more gentle demeanor, that's going to come back, because once they find they can't really affect you anymore, because you get to that place through your own work, whatever that will be, it's just a whole lot easier to get through life. And I know I use that analogy. I think I shared it the last time that a negative force could be like a meteor headed your way. Actually, what have we got in the atmosphere right now? An asteroid or something. What are you going to do? Let it roll you over? No, you step aside. So that's what I do, and I do it mentally and sometimes physically because it puts that imprint. You create new imprints in your life.
Well, I'm trying to remember if the last time you mentioned that, if I said what I'm about to say, but it sounds like I would have said it because I know what I feel. But I believe that there is actually more power in surrender than there is in being dug in and so intent upon a bad path, let's say. Why don't you just, you know, figure out how to relax and surrender? Mm-hmm. I don't mean you, but me.
Right.
You know, if I feel like if I'm fighting something, it's just way more exhausting than if I just say, okay, here's the parts that I can affect change in. I will do that. And the rest of it, I'm just going to say, wow, thank you for sharing, and move on.
So, you know what I'm saying? And like, you do it's easier to do with whether or not there's strangers in your life or just acquaintances. It's far easier to do that than with family because there are triggers that, you know, there's just people in your life that you know they're going to push your buttons, and that's where it can be accomplished to understand that they're not sending that off to you personally. And if you don't take it personally and realize that that is a projection of their own unhappiness, and like they say, misery loves company, you know, this is what I have learned through learning more about how people communicate, it's not going to affect you. And if you, as you said, surrender to it while maintaining your own integrity, it's just going to be a far better experience to be with this person. And sometimes it doesn't work. And if you have given it your very best, what could anyone ask for, right?
Right. Well, and that goes back to your second word in your three words that are under your business name, which is your personal name as well, is evolve. And I think when we do evolve, that takes that work that we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't evolve by the status quo, by, you know, doing what we've always done and expecting a different result. As we know, that's called insanity. So that, you know, that evolving thing is very important. You know, in each decade, hopefully we get smarter, not just older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that brings, when you just mentioned decades, you know, I've always been a keen observer of human behavior, and one of my other topics to discuss is the disconnect. And now having a 2-year-old granddaughter, my focus is a little bit more on this, on the new generation that's coming into the world, and how much they have at their disposal with technology. And I observe, especially when I'm traveling, two people are sitting there with each other and so immersed in their BlackBerries, they're not taking that precious time to connect. So how can they evolve when they're so connected with their iPhone or their iPad? There is a time, yes, you need to do that if you're in business, and but not all of the time. And so when people say, well, I just don't understand why my relationship just isn't, you know, working out, start setting some boundaries that when we're together, even if it's for just a couple hours at the end of the day, put that away. I find it to be very distracting, especially in the evening, to have my cell phone even close by, because it takes the attention away from spending time with my husband. And then I'll take a last check of the emails before I go to bed to see if there's something that absolutely needed my attention. But other than that, you know, I don't have it on my nightstand. I put it away. But that is what I use as an analogy, is that evolvement in a relationship just cannot happen if the connection isn't there.
Well, I tell you, there's a couple of times in the time that Pete and I have had that the TV, for some reason, has not been available.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most fun time. We've had we've had companies stay with us for, I think, 5 days. And we said, you know what, there's no television, so we'll just have to tell stories and laugh and, you know, eat, mm-hmm. laugh some more, tell some more stories. It was the best 5 days ever. And no television, no technology, because it was back a few years before we were all connected to all this wireless and,
mm-hmm.
and craziness. But the other thing is doing things with our grandchildren that don't involve technology, I think, is critical.
Mm-hmm.
We just had the occasion to have our grandchildren. We have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, both granddaughters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And,
you know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I didn't know how to make a paper pom-pom, but I said I could. So I got the biggest paper I could find and cut it into strips and did all kinds of stuff with it and made magic for these children out of, you know, paper. And we colored on it, and we carried on, and it took hours, and it was totally awesome fun.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to remember. You know, they're not going to remember a DVD that I popped in.
No.
To player. You know.
I know. And as my granddaughter lives in Atlanta, and I'm here in California, yes, we have the power of Skype, which has been nice.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I do see her either every 2 or 3 months, and have done so since she was born, so we are bonded that way. But I decided to start something, and she is a little young, but I, you know, with either just a handwritten note, or actually I have send-out cards that's a feature that's great for people in business to show your appreciation. It's you can do it on your computer. I don't work it actively. It's just a nice feature for my personal life. But I send her cards so she knows that there is that power. When you get a handwritten note from someone, there's a lot more power in that note than receiving an email.
Right.
Because energetically, someone has taken the time to put their pen to paper and express their whatever sentiments they are and how meaningful that is. And that's become a lost art.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something I told my daughter I want to start incorporating. I'm going to send her a note, and even that she, because she was coloring on Skype the other day, and I said, going to send that to me, right? She kind of looked at me, nodded her head, and I said, okay, you know, so that she gets that concept of, you know, number one, that there is a thing called regular mail, and also that this is something to keep, because on computers, we hit the delete button, and it's gone, you know.
So you just hit on something that I don't know how far we can take it, but the word cherish comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
If we are too much in technology and that quick, you know, I'll just text you, I'll just, you know, shoot you a quick email that's curt, you know, no emotion in it. I'll add an emoticon at the end so you know it was a smiley face idea. You know, you don't cherish any of that.
No.
So what you're doing, it sounds like to me, is teaching your granddaughter to cherish you, the time that she spent drawing something for you, all of that. I think that's an important piece.
Yes. Yes, it is. I actually draw upon my own childhood and how my imagination was my best friend. And I can still remember those pretend plays, and that's what I... The Discover the Essence of You program is, it's not all about me, but as, when I'm narrating and encouraging people who are not really knowing what their passion is, if you take that time to just go into a place of stillness, knock off all the phones, the electronic devices, and just breathe and think back, my goodness, there's some hidden secrets way back when. And it's so fun to just go back to that place and feeling that freedom. And there's no reason why you can't bring that into your life again. That was you.
Right.
So, you know, and that, and I know things are different now with, you know, safety of children. And I'm so grateful that I was able to just go out and ride my bike and play with friends out in the street until 9 o'clock at night. And it is a different world, but what I share with parents is to allow their children to have that freedom of expression. If they're coloring and they go outside the lines, that's their creativity. They could be a great abstract artist, but if they're told, oh, you got to stay in the lines, and if the teacher says this is gives a grade to it. That's a measurement right there. It is suppressing that creativity. Same with show and tell, right?
Yep. I have to share something real quick. That same weekend that I'm talking about, last weekend when we had the grandkids, we were also writing stories. And the five-year-old, his name Reese, is just an amazing, amazing person. And she is so clever, so imaginative, and the little one was doing other things, the two-year-old. But Reese was very busy with writing stories. And I am an editor. I catch typos from a mile away. And I'm looking at this unfolding story with the word haunted spelled with no N. But I knew it was haunted house because it was clearly, you know, it was the picture next to it was a haunted house. And I knew better than to say, okay, we're going to, you know, edit this whole thing. Because it would have destroyed that memory. And it's an adorable story. And you would never want to squelch that. So I don't know. I just feel like when we see those kinds of things, not only for a five-year-old, but for a 45-year-old or a 65-year-old who is in, Pete's raising his hands. He's 64. He keeps thinking he's 65. Not yet.
Well, backwards is 46, so we'll go with that.
There you go. But, you know, it's just to really celebrate each other and say, you know what? You go, girl, or you go, guy. You're just having a great time, and I think we're back and to those, that appreciation.
That word will come out spelled properly when it's in its own time, and that's what I share with you, because there's this, and when I think back on when my children were young, well, yes, there's this measuring against someone else. Oh, they're talking now, and your child's not, or they're walking, and mine isn't. That they all have their own time to do this, and now with the influx of books on, you know, what to expect when you're expecting, what to expect from each other, that I want to write to the author and say, get that word expectations out, because they truly do learn at different paces in their life. Some are more auditory, some are more visual. They grasp in their own way, and they eventually catch up. They'll be functioning just fine, but it's that pressure to strive to be perfect that I know I remember that too vividly, and from very young age, and you know, whether or not that was self-inflicted or from somewhere else, it doesn't serve you, because there'll be always something more that to strive for. Just be yourself, because everyone truly is a gift. And when they realize that they are just that, a gift to the world, and that everyone is unique and special, and truly feel that and own it, that's what's going to come through. We all complement one another. If we're all the same, it wouldn't make for a very interesting world, would it?
No, it wouldn't. I have a question about the vision board concept, and I'm wondering how young could a person start to do a vision board? What do you think about a child doing one?
Well, not as young as two.
No.
Because I'm thinking of Harper. But
and probably not
say,
even five.
No. I would say it depends on the child. They say that this new generation of children coming into this world, they've got names like Indigo children. They're coming into this world with this sense of knowingness that's been unlike before. I need to get some statistics on that. So it really does depend on the child. But if a parent is working with them and encouraging them that there's nothing that they can't do, you know, when you're told that you can't, then they're going to, like, for instance, I interviewed Justine Siegel. She's the first woman to ever throw batting practice at spring training, and then she got to throw batting practice for the Oakland A's and I think a couple other teams. And she is an advocate for telling these young, impressionable girls that if you're told that you can't play baseball, then they're going to start thinking, what else is there that they can't do? So as if you're either a parent or you're just related to a young child, is just to look at the big picture. And, you know, it would be all relative to their life and what they're wanting. But, you know, tell them, don't think about it. Just let's just find some pictures in a magazine. And that'll just start opening up their world. Sometimes children are much more free-flowing from their right brain. It's as we get older with our left brain thinking and analyzing, is this right or it's wrong? There's no right or wrong in life. It's what's coming from within. So, I think that would be wonderful. I'd like, if I can get my family all together at once, to do a family vision board. I did one with my husband, which was great. I mean, after knowing him for 34 years, you always think you know someone, but as we're projecting where we are now and what we're wanting in the future, it was really a wonderful experience. And then now we have it. I actually have it in our bedroom because it is us. And reminders of that we want balance, good health, where we're looking to live. You know, once the quote unquote retirement comes. I don't think that's ever going to happen for me.
I was gonna say, when is that?
I know. People tell me, God, you know, you'd think that after raising your kids and being working, that you just relax. I'm like, I don't. it's not that I'm not relaxing. I'm just really enjoying this time now for me. And,
well, look at what you did, Nancy. Look at what you did. You said you started this experiment in radio
right.
a couple years ago. And no, not even a couple. What year was it? 2000?
It was May of 2010.
2010. So,
not even a year and a half.
Right. So you've started this experiment, and that's what we get to do when we are evolving and discovering and creating and connecting, is we get to say, I think today I shall start a new experiment. And because I have, you know, given myself permission to be as excellent as I want to be, I can choose whatever that is, including going back to school. You know, so really, whatever we put on that vision board, even as a couple, that would be very interesting to do that with Pete. We've been together 23 years, and I would probably look at pictures he was choosing and say, what?
Well, I want to share something with you. When I was on the Jeff and Angel Morning Show, and I was in studio with them, they were very fascinated with the vision board concept. So I went through it all, and Jeff was still kind of like, oh, I'm not really sure. And I believe I did this with you. I had them all do a pick three. Now, I was in the room with them, so I was able to observe what they were looking at. And the amazing thing about it, and he still thanks me for that because now I come in studio, in that he's wanting to expand, as we all do, but you get caught up in the how's this going to happen and should this be happening and all the worry and the angst that goes with that. And his pick three was so revealing that his cup is just going to run us over with all of the technology that he had that he pointed out. And sure as all heck, when I started my show at the beginning of October, they've already started, you know, busting down walls, expanding. And I said, there you go. I mean, put that intention out.
Yep. Well, that's what vision is. That's what's
right.
so great.
Well, that's like Walt Disney. I love that perfect story of him standing in an orange grove and imagining that's the happiest place on earth. Like, who does that? And then going to of the bank and asking for a loan for the happiest place on earth in an orange grove. And I always like to add, that's probably how the character Goofy got started. Some of me have said, you're Goofy. But, and Steve Jobs, my goodness, I mean, I've learned more about him after his passing than when he was alive. I knew he was, you know, innovative and the mastermind behind all the Apple products, but him as a person, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, I also have been fascinated by Steve Jobs and the idea that what I like about what he did when he announced his new products up on stage, he always put up that thing that said one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the one more thing was what they really were waiting for, even though what he'd already unveiled was amazing. But the one more thing took it over the top. And I really do love a one more thing kind of life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to stop at one more thing. I mean every day is an opportunity to do for somebody else and for me one more thing that puts it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that,
exactly.
That's kind of a fun way to go.
It is. And then when you incorporate that into a journal, you don't need to have this dissertation written for every day, but you could start it with saying one more thing that I want to add. You know, what happened in your life today? What you know, who made a difference in my life? What did I do for someone else? That's putting it down so you could see it, and it just feels good to see that. And those are some of the I'm trying to think. I think it was Amway that encouraged their salespeople to put like a vision of what they want when they reach their goal, which is a car. But, you know, I mean, I suppose that was effective to some sort, but it's still how to get to that goal. And as I discover as I work with my students is that there could be something in within themselves that holds them back, that they are not fully believing in themselves, and that projects out when you're trying to sell something. If you don't believe yourself, they're not going to believe you either.
Right.
So it's really truly getting in tune with your innermost self. And once you clear out the clutter and process it, release it, that's the huge factor. And I believe I did talk about the formula that creates the vision board classes that I conduct as an experience. When you apply this formula to it, it's much more expansive than in The Secret, where it was ask, believe, and receive. The missing word is action.
Right.
And so the vision board creation is the action of all of that. So it truly is, I'd have to say, as rewarding for me to watch and witness students really applying themselves, and the excitement, you just see their whole physiology change. They get brighter, they're more excited, and then I always take pictures of them and put them on my Facebook page, and they're so proud of it, and the feedback that comes afterward. One was really amazing. She wrote the next day and said, "Is it possible for my vision board to take effect in one day?" And I said, "Well, darling, yes, it is, because it was this vision board is you. You put that out there, and with probably such a force and belief that this is what you want." And there it came. So, and sometimes things come to you in unexpected ways. It's not always obvious to the person, why did I pick this object in here? If they have a car there and they're not getting their car, then they're thinking, oh, this doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. And there's a process in life. It's not always going to
happen. Have you told us what you want to tell us about the Heart Path Method? Have you said what you need to say about it? Because I think that is really the essence for me of what you're working on right now that is very important.
Well, the thing of it is that going into the Heart Path Method, it is a process of within my coaching, and it is your time, number one, to go to put yourself into a state of stillness. Because, for instance, people are always seeking and searching, or I know I was one of those, but they're looking outward for answers. Well, that's not going to always come through for you, because it might not be the answer that is right for you. So with incorporating the Heart Path Method is a process that I guide you through to peel back the layers to your heart, and it is with that process, when you are completely clear in your mind and have cleared the voices within, that those discoveries come in, and sometimes they're not always pleasant, but they are. It is at those times of being out of your comfort zone that you experience your growth, because that needs to be released. If that is what is holding your heart, so many people have a shield based on what may have happened in their past, that they're not able to express themselves or let anyone in, or for just their own self in their businesses, in their own personal success. If there's a wall there, you can't express yourself authentically and truly from a place, from your heart place. And I think you know what I mean when you meet people and they're you can feel it, and everything is energy. But if there's an energy block in there, that is what needs the attention to release that. And then we go into different forms of processes that they can release so that they're able to move forward, to let go and be free and truly know who you are. So once you can say that I can follow my heart, because I used to be curious about the words, how can I follow my heart if I don't know where it's leading me? But when you know that your heart is your inner voice, your intuition, and you are so in tune to that. You can't go wrong. Your heart will never fail you.
Right. You have something on your website that I really like, and it's this. You say, there's one last note. It's impossible, said pride. It's risky, said experience. It's pointless, said reason. Give it a try, whispered the heart. Listen to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so true. It's
yep.
so true. And I'm a testimony to that, you know. And that I have found that there's so many people in this world who have really had some very, very traumatic experiences in their life, and they could have taken that route of being angry at the world and it's the world against them and stayed in that place. But it's with that acknowledgement that this has happened, what am I going to do about it, and go through processes that others may never have heard about. And I feel it's my life purpose to share this with others. You know, because that's what was happening to me. It's like, how is it that you can do so much right now? Well, because I can, and I do it with an open heart now. And, you know, 4 years ago, it was primarily for me, I had a herniated disc. I was actually, because I journal, I looked back, and I was saying then, I pray for a pain-free day. That was my goal. And I put it out there, but I'd never heard about visioning. I hadn't heard about energy work. All the ways that I was able to overcome that without having injections or back surgery. And now I know how to protect my back, but it's when you get yourself emotionally balanced. We have the power to heal. The body was designed to heal itself. We've just got to acknowledge that and we talk about looking outward. Oh, well, this pill will help us. Well, look what happened in the Conrad Murray trial.
Right.
That's a perfect example. And one of the prosecutors yesterday, he had a stern message out there. He said, well, you know, here they are in Los Angeles, in the entertainment capital of the world. He said, for you doctors out there who are prescribing these lethal prescription drugs, I hope you take note of what happened here and the just total disregard for your patient and what could happen, even though they're begging for it. What they need is to go inward into themselves and really get, when you think about some of these actors and actresses in the world who have made it through, you know, decades, and continue to put forth, you know, their talents and their crafts, and not relying on drugs to put them to sleep and drugs to wake up, your body can't take that. And you're just going to diminish your talent, your ability to give what you need to do. It's just going to be, it's a mask. So I did interview
not only
one
that,
doctor.
Mm. Oh, I was going to say, not only that, you can't very well listen to your heart if you're unconscious.
No, you're in a state of sleeping. You're sleepwalking through life.
Exactly.
And a lot of people do that even without drugs. They are in denial. They refuse to acknowledge themselves and what they're doing and blame whatever happened in their life. It's time to wake up, you know, and I've got a book actually called in the works. I'm not sure on the title, but one of them is going to be Wake Up Before They Don't, and that has to do with, you know, the misuse of prescription drugs. But there is a doctor who is a certified anesthesiologist as well as a chronic pain relief specialist, and he gets the patients where they just don't know what to do. And when he finds out,
did we lose Nancy? I think we might have lost her.
We seem to have lost Nancy Ferrari. Don't know what happened on that, but the call has dropped. So maybe she'll
try to call back in and say goodbye, because we're almost at
unfortunately,
the...
Unfortunately, why don't we just go ahead and let's just wrap up the show and thank everybody for joining us today. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today has been Nancy Ferrari. who now has her own radio show, and all that information about the radio show is available here in this program that you've just heard. You can go to her directly at nancy@discovertheessenceofyou.com. nancy@discovertheessenceofyou.com. Oh, and she is
back. I knew
back
she'd come
and
back.
I have no idea. I think
she's
the,
back.
My
okay.
higher power said enough. You said enough. Oh, geez.
Well,
this is what used to happen to me. I had, especially being, you know, we could host a show from anywhere, Florida, when the hurricane season would come off. Then my guests would just drop off. I go, oh,
yeah.
Here we go. And I appreciate both of you for having gone to my website so that you can see and pull from that as to what, you know, the development of my year has been. And I don't know. Right now I had to step into another room because I'm thinking maybe, who knows what happened with the cable there, but where we are with time. But, yeah, if you go to nancyferrari.com, you'll see everything, plus my radio show link. But I owe so much to Blog Talk Radio. That's my baby. It was difficult to air my last show because that was my creation. But there's that time of transition, and I honored it, that, you know, moving forward, and it's infinite possibilities from here.
Absolutely. Well, it's been really nice having you back on our show. I think
thank you.
I learned a lot again. So
Thank
you for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome, and it's always a pleasure. You're very insightful, Deborah, and we need to just talk sometime. I learned a lot from you as well, and you asked some very poignant questions and thought-provoking, and I appreciate that. We really do, especially now that we're both grandparents of grandmothers of young ones. There, we'll share our little tips with each other so that we keep that precious and cherished connection with them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pete. I believe is going to you're going to let her give her contact information.
Yeah, please, Nancy.
One more
go ahead and give us all your contact information one more time, and we'll close it down for the day.
Alrighty, excuse me, now I'm losing my voice. I've talked so much. My website is nancyferrari.com, and there you can find all my contact information. I just decided to make it really easy for my email address. Anyone can email me if they're so inclined, is nancy@nancyferrari.com. My Gmail account's far too hard, far too lengthy. So that I try to make things simple, and my radio show is the Nancy Ferrari Show on knocradio.com, and you can listen to it live anywhere. Just because it airs live here in Orange County, California, that doesn't mean that you can't tune in, because, like I said, like both of you have, one just exceptional guests, that's what I like to present out there to the listening audience as well. So, and I'll have to have you both on my show in the upcoming year.
Well, that sounds great. We'd be glad to do it. We'd love to do it.
Oh, well, thank you again. It's always a pleasure to be with both of you. And have a wonderful holiday season if I don't talk to you sooner.
Great, and the same to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Have a great day.
You too.
You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today we brought you information and conversation with Nancy Ferrari of the Nancy Ferrari Show out of Southern California. And you can listen to the Boomer the Babe Show every day, Monday through Friday, right here at 10 o'clock Arizona time, 9 o'clock Pacific Standard. Remember that we do much more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. That's boomerandthebabe.com. See everything that makes up the Boomer the Babe Incorporated. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. Have a great day, everybody. Another great guest tomorrow. Please join us. Talk to you then. Listening to the Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.